Oh, sorry. Did you say, oh, we are now
And
recording.
we are now live.
Great. Well, welcome everyone. Good afternoon. Today is Monday, February 8th, 2021. Today is the LTD Board of Directors Contract Committee meeting. I call this meeting to order and I see, let's do a quick roll call. So we have Josh Scove.
Here.
And I, Carl Ye, am here. We are missing Emily Secord. Hopefully she will join us in a little bit. I have no comments, so let's go straight to the approval of the minutes.
Move to approve.
Move to approve. I second it. So all those in favor, Josh
aye.
Says aye. I say aye too, so minutes approved. Very good. Wow, record time. We're almost done.
That was fast.
So our first item to consider today is the contract with, is it Giro? Am I pronouncing that right?
Gyro is how
Gyro.
They pronounce it.
Okay. Gyro. So, and Robin, you'll be presenting that to us. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you ready for me to proceed?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to this contract proposal. This contract is for our software called Hastus Service Planning Software, and it is made by Gyro. They're the sole creator of this software. The software has been in use by LTD service planners, and it's used to create new routes, changes to existing routes. And every time we do a bid for a new system change, this is the software they use to plan for that. And our service planners use it very frequently this year because of COVID. We've done many more bids, as you guys have been party to, as they've presented all of the kind of adjustments we've had to make much more frequently to our service. And so this is software that's gotten a lot of use this year, probably more than normal. And as well, we're introducing our first batch of electric buses into our fleet, and our service planning team will need the upgrade to Hastus in order to effectively model the needed changes to our service and to plan for the difference in using electric buses, because they have a much different charging versus refueling structure. So that software that has been upgraded to account for adding electric buses to the fleet, and they need that functionality. The total project cost for the upgrade, including all the associated labor consulting and implementation and the licensing fees for a five-year contract plus 2 2-year extensions, is $680,000. The upgrade itself is $208,000, and the first year's licensing fees are just about $46,000. Those will increase about 2.5% a year, according to the schedule they give us, which is in keeping with software industry norms, and we usually see about 2 to 5% increase a year. So this cost of this initial project, which is kind of the first year's licenses, the implementation of $270,000, is covered by 5307 funds, by which we've put up a 20% match. This money was already approved. This project was already approved in the CIP. You've seen it for several years. It's been something we've planned on. And the money is partially allocated in this fiscal 21 budget, because the first payments and the first half of the project will come due in this next 6 months. And the remainder of the project budget will be in fiscal 22. And then the yearly licensing fees after that first full year will be included in the IT department's materials and service budget. And they're really pretty close to the licensing fees we're currently paying for the older version of Hastus that we're using. And the main reason we really want to move forward with this upgrade right now is kind of the imperative nature of the arrival of our electric buses, which we're really excited about, and the more frequent bids that we're doing for COVID, and obviously there's not quite an end in sight to that yet. So in closing, I would just urge you to forward to the board with recommendation for approval the contract with Gyro for the purchase of the Hastus software. And I'm more than willing to answer any questions you might have.
Thanks, Robin. Josh, I've got a question, but I'll let you go first.
No, go ahead, Carl.
Oh, okay. Well, Robin, I imagine what this software is like if one were playing like a game like SimCity of some sort, and you have a map and you enter in all the stops and then you enter in all the rolling stock you have, et cetera, and then it does, and then you can make little adjustments and then it will spit out for you how your schedule will work with what resources you have. And I imagine also probably connects with traffic, like GIS information, stuff like that, to to give you accurate information output?
Yeah, it doesn't connect with traffic and stuff, but it does incorporate map layers and can incorporate data from our service that we're running. So the service planners can get an idea based on the norms that we already know of what effects will be on routes.
Gotcha. And the point trying to make is that I imagine it's complicated, and so which is why you don't just sit down with a piece of paper and pencil and write it out. And because I was thinking that
it's incredibly complicated. Right? Yes. Gives you great appreciation for service planners when you see what they do.
Right. I mean, especially if I hadn't even thought about this, the fact that the electric refueling is different from the diesel refueling. And so that's another factor to consider. I think what I would just wanted to make sure that, and that Josh and I can do this too at the next meeting, is like, hey, this is complicated stuff. Yes, it's expensive. I mean, we're talking about almost $700,000 for 5 years. I figured that might raise some eyebrows, but and I wonder if it would be good. It doesn't have to be a long one, but I don't know how easy it would be to throw up that information, throw up as in like put on the screen, what it looks like, not to us, but to the board. So they have an idea of the complexity.
Oh, yeah.
Would that be great? Yeah, and I think if you're amenable to that, I would say I would highly recommend it just so they understand, like, that's what you're paying $700,000 over 5 years for.
Yeah, it's a really complicated, what they call engine, that does all the calculations, as you can imagine. So yes, and presents all kinds of solutions, from which they can choose.
Awesome. That's all I have. Josh, go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea, Carl, just to give people a flavor of the complexity. Or people can just go to the Wikipedia entry for linear programming, which will scare anyone who's not super duper mathy, but certainly
a little light reading.
Yeah, a little bit light reading. But yeah, so it's a big, complicated optimization problem that we don't want to do by hand, or for that matter, in Excel.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I shot off a couple questions by email to Robin in advance. And so, Robin, do you mind if I just sort of read these and then kind of, narrate them a little bit?
Absolutely.
Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah.
And this is all just to make sure that we're doing our due diligence at this, we live in this extended moment of rapid technological change. And so I want to just make sure we're not, I don't know, buying too much or locking ourselves in. So the questions I posed by email were, first of all, are these upgrades to legacy systems delivering what we want and need and hope for, right now, but also going forward into the future? To what extent does this contract or contract extension lock us in and prevent some sort of desirable shift to another technology? I have to admit, the only thing that surprised me a little bit about this was that the initial term is for 5 whole years. And then last, why not instead? And this is almost a straw man question for you to sort of pick apart, Robin, if I'm getting this wrong, but like, why shouldn't we just try to buy a little more time and try to do some more comprehensive upgrade with something better well inside that 5-year time frame? Or is that a silly way to think about it?
Okay, I can take those one at a time if that's okay for you.
Go for it.
The first one about upgrading the legacy systems, is the system delivering what we want and need and hope for? I think it is in the moment. Our service planners have certainly looked at other software. We know what's out there in the feature sets and stuff. And we know that this is good value in comparison to other things that we might choose in the moment. Although when we do eventually choose another software, we would want to go out and do a full RFP, obviously. But in this moment, it has the features that we need to provide for our COVID bids and our electric buses. And probably most importantly, at a time when our service planners have had fairly enormous stressors, not just the stress that everybody has had in this year of COVID and remote work and stuff like that, but also of having these rapid bids. Normally we do, 3 or maybe 4 bids a year, and we've done lots, and sometimes with quick turnarounds, that we don't put the burden on them this year of learning all new software that operates in all new ways. And so that was really one of the main considerations that we took into account on whether to go out for RFP right now, which was certainly something we considered, or whether to wait a couple years, or even just wait 1 year. So one of the other considerations, of course, being that the electric buses coming kind of meant we needed to do an upgrade to get that functionality. So those two in combination sort of guided our decision making. The second question about locking us in, and Wendy could speak to this more as well, is that we're not locked into this contract. We always have a terminate clause. If indeed in 2 years, you know, COVID was gone, our electric buses were settled in, we felt super confident that we were ready to move forwards, we could at any point do that. So we're not locked in. And again, Wendy can elaborate on that if you have more questions on that. And three, do we need to buy a time while we align our systems for a more comprehensive upgrade? That's kind of an interesting question with, I think, a couple of components. One is just that we've got several software systems that are going out to RFP in the near future. Most notably, ones that interact the most with HASTIS. We just did a replacement with an RFI for our HR and payroll system. And since HASTIS kind of controls what our operators are going to do, and that goes into our operations software, and that interacts with our payroll software, those things are closely work together. Coming up, we'll be doing an RFP for that operations software, which does tie into HASTIS, and will be a pretty big deal for that part of our organization. And so doing these two right on top of each other, I think would have been pretty disruptive. And that software is, that operations software has just sort of a more immediate need for a replacement due to the age of the software and features and stuff that operations really needs to operate more effectively. So that was the bigger priority to do an RFP at this point, was to do it for that operations software and not for the service planning software. So those are two considerations. And then sort of the aligning for a comprehensive upgrade, that's an interesting question because, you know, if you asked it 10 years ago, we'd be saying, yes, we definitely want to go out and get a comprehensive program that does everything. It does our planning and our operations and our CAD ADL systems on the buses, and we want all one big thing. And as you know, Josh, the introduction of kind of API level integrations, the ability for software to talk to each other via its programs in ways that the developers can create kind of for the software to handshake itself and not have to be all created by one software company, gives us a lot more flexibility. So we can certainly, if we have an upgrade to the operations software and we really like it and want to go with a full suite of connected programs, we could do that. When we go out for our CAD EDL, we could choose the same vendor and then replace HASTIS with the same vendor and have all three be from the same vendor. But because software in general has become more nimble and because of API level integrations, we don't have to do that anymore. We can be more of a pick and choose, sort of a buffet approach instead of a full meal deal approach. And we feel like that will give us probably better value and more specificity in each of those areas, because it might be the case that one company makes great service planning software and mediocre operations software and okay CAD ADL or vice versa. And now we can get best in class or best fitted to our purposes in each. So we definitely have all the options open to us, either getting a comprehensive solution or getting several different solutions. And nothing in this contract is really locking us down.
Oh, that's super helpful. Thank you. I really, really appreciate those answers, Robin. That's that's really confidence inspiring, just like really valuable context. Back on that middle question about the lock-in and being able to get out of the contract, mm-hmm. and maybe this is to queue up more response from Wendy. Maybe this was in the packet and I didn't quite understand it when I read it, but then if we can exit at any time, what is the meaning of the 5-year term for the contract? What is the meaning of the contract plus the possibility of extensions other than being on a price schedule?
I'll speak to that briefly before Wendy. It just that I think that's probably the amount of time we will spend with this software before we re-up, because we have this replacement of our operations software and replacement of our CAD ADL, which is, you know, our biggest, most comprehensive system involving hardware and software on every bus, that we just didn't think we would probably revisit this any sooner. If the opportunity were to arise and we really felt like we wanted to, we certainly could. And I'll let Wendy speak to our options there. But just to tell you, that's kind of where the 5-year came in. We thought about when would we realistically revisit this. And making it shorter just makes it much more difficult for us and procurement to go through that cycle every time we renew it. More work.
I feel, and maybe Kalina can help jump in on this too, but I mean, Robin answered really well that, you know, we do want that flexibility. We could have the 5-year because that's really the first time we would consider looking at it. But we also have that ability to terminate for convenience. And that's in every one of our contracts. I think it just allows us flexibility and it gives us a place where we can lock in that pricing. Because if we don't have, like on shorter contracts, a lot of times, like when you do those renewals, there's an opportunity to increase the price. So it's one way to help control the cost. And then also it's just the convenience. If it's something we know that we're going to be using indefinitely, then we don't have to go back and do the renewals every year just to extend for time. So it saves staff time from just saying, oh, you want to use this for another year? Great, great. Fill out this paperwork. And then we have to do the amendments. So it is a time saver, but we always have that option to terminate at any time. That's part of our Oregon law that we can do that. So we keep that. And Kalina, I didn't know if you had anything to answer as well on that.
The only thing I want to answer is because Wendy, you have covered it perfectly. The termination for convenience is required because we're a federal grantee. And then additionally, we are sort of, as a governmental entity, software companies recognize that we're going to enter into a contract, but there's a phrase that says subject to our board approval, which is why we tried to do that up front, because in general, we couldn't agree to a contract beyond the annual budget unless we had the prior authorization, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's interesting. I see. Because we are reauthorizing our budget every year, in theory, there is an automatic possibility for escape from a contract obligation.
Yes.
That's interesting. I feel for those poor contractors. That sounds tough. I mean, whatever. I don't think boards are going crazy all over the place, but that is interesting. I didn't realize that was in there. Thank you. Go ahead, Carl. I had one little follow up, but go for
it. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to ask about Robin. I don't know if you want to say a little more about our CAD ADL systems and what might lurk out there that's new. And I mean, maybe actually your comments about API integration, API level integration are enough because we'll be able to do whatever we need to do with the existing systems. But I'm curious, what is the timeline for potential change on that? I feel like Mark Johnson mentioned something about that at a meeting a while back.
Yeah, we will be teeing that up, you know, with an RFP in the next year. So I believe it's up for replacement in 2024 is the last year would be switching over before. So fiscal 24. So that is definitely in motion already. There is a lot of new stuff coming out, as you can imagine, in the realm of connected vehicles. So there's really a lot to look out there, and it's one of those times when we want to look at what's really new and up and coming and kind of find that balance between new exciting features and, you know, reliable old standard features. So that is a decision we'll be looking at very, very closely.
Okay, great. Carl, I lied. One last question. I'll try to make this the last. And Robin, I apologize. I didn't think of this before. So I didn't give you the heads up in advance. So this will be fun to watch you think on your feet. I don't think it'll be challenging. I definitely have some appreciation for the giant optimization problem that we need software like this to manage. This is not something we're going to crunch through on, you know, with pen and paper. Or as I said, even sort of off the shelf tools that are generic like Excel. There is a reason there's specialized software for this. I am wondering whether, and I also understand there's a lot that goes into this for the service planners. The service planners don't just sort of sprinkle a little bit of pixie dust and a few forms and preferences and then like sort of sit back and watch ESPN while it churns out results. There's real work to do to use the software. That said, we often at the policy level don't see a lot of like multiple scenarios to choose between and to understand where the edges of our optimization possibilities are. And I guess part of the reason I bring this up is that one thing that has surfaced a few times in conversation with people is that if we say have a significant percentage of our fleet that goes electric, and if electric buses don't have, it's not that they don't have range, but maybe they don't have the longest ranges that some of our buses do, all of a sudden, we can't use part of our fleet for some of our routes. And that just constrains what we can do. And so once we start fiddling with coverage versus ridership or efficiency, you know, we start working on that trade-off, we actually don't have every possibility at our disposal. Is it possible that this software can be used to kind of do scenario planning at some point in the future to inform sort of what's on the table for us as policymakers?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the great benefits of getting this upgrade is that one of the things we have to determine, and you know, you have heard and will hear more from Kelly Hale on our fleet procurement plan, is how many electric buses can we sustain? You know, how many of our, without, you know, dramatically changing our service, or if we do, you know, change our service, you know, our coverage versus frequency metrics, what does that mean for electric buses and how many routes they can do? There's a lot of complexities there. And one of the big questions is what bigger percentage of our fleet can be electric given our current routes? Does that percentage change if our routes change? If we go to more frequency instead of coverage, does that affect how many electric buses we can run? There's just a lot of questions that it will help us answer. And so, yes, it is, there's a lot of complexities, and some of it is on a big scale, like, you know, the comprehensive operations analysis that we do every several years, is kind of a bigger picture look, but some of them is just nitty gritty. If this route goes, you know, five more blocks, we can't put an electric bus on it, you know, or something like that, right? There's some very detailed changes that they can see, and then there's some very big picture things that it gives us as well.
Great, okay, that's super helpful. Thank you so much, Robin, Wendy, Kalina, I really appreciate it. This is always scary to sign off on an expenditure of this scale, but thank you for making us feel better about it. And Emily, sorry, I see you're here now. I've bought you enough time to come up with questions.
Yeah, I want to acknowledge Emily Secord had joined us several minutes ago, actually. So noting that for the record. Also, just to catch you up, Emily, we're just talking about this one contract from Gyro or with Gyro. We had also talked about making sure the board was aware of the complexities that had to be dealt with. I think if you came in at the time when Josh said that it's even difficult to just pen this out on paper, or even with Excel. And I think one of the things we would like is maybe just a brief demonstration of the software. The other thing I would add is kind of along the lines of what Josh and Robin had talked about, which is that I think it is important for the public to see this too, just to get a taste of it, just to see that it isn't as simple as just taking out a stop or adding in a stop. It does affect a lot of things. And I don't know how graphical or how obvious that is from the software, but you know, I'll just trust that to you that you'll show us something interesting, you know, with along those lines.
Yeah, be more than happy to.
If you want to respond to that, and then we'll go back to Emily to make sure she doesn't have any questions, and then I'll entertain a motion.
Yeah, was there a question in there I needed to respond?
Oh, there wasn't a question. Just I thought maybe you wanted to add something to it. So, yeah. Did you have any
else? We'll definitely I'll talk to our service planners about what they can, you know, show you that would kind of illustrate what they're talking about here. And if the features are from the software that we don't have yet, it might be a screenshot or something of future features that we'll be getting.
Totally fine there. Yeah, good deal. And I appreciate that. I think earlier we was also said that you are satisfied with this particular product and find it has a better value than some of the other products out there. So I will trust you on that one too.
Yes.
Emily, just to check with you. Did you have any questions or comments? Oh, is that no? Just making sure. Okay, great. Well, then we'll entertain a motion.
Carl, I'm happy to make a motion. I just want to confirm. It starts with 2019, and they usually start with the year. Maybe this is just because this is an older contract. Is that right?
Yes, it's an older contract, and so yeah. That's okay. Why it's not, the year doesn't match.
Okay.
It's a revision to the contract.
I thought I was being tested. I think I passed. Anyway, I've moved to forward contract number 2019-49 to the board of directors with a recommendation for approval. I think we got a second from Emily.
Emily's mic might not
be that right. Or it was like peace.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. She's so for the record, Josh has moved to forward this contract onto the board of directors. Emily has seconded it. All those in favor, we'll start with Josh.
Aye.
And Emily. And she signals the aye, and I also vote aye. So we'll move this on to the board of directors for approval. So thank you again to Robin, Wendy, and Kalina. And I think that is all the business we have for today, if I'm not mistaken. So I will go ahead and adjourn this meeting and thank everyone for being here today. Please stay safe and healthy, and we will see you again at our next LTD meeting. I think it's next week. All right. We'll just say it's
next 9 days. Our next board right, meeting, 9 days.
Yes. Sorry, I was double muted. Yes, next week.
Oh, good.
17th.
Good. Yeah, not that people tune into this meeting to get the latest on the next meetings, but just in case. All right. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Take care.
Thank you. Nice
Thanks,
work.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.